Safe is a bit of a stretch, but it's what he needs at this moment. "Are you real?" he gasps. Slowly, as if I might dissolve at any moment, he reaches up to touch my face. "You're alive. I thought I would never see you again. The explosion..." "I'm as real as you are," I say, and chuckle, because I can hardly believe that myself. He smiles back, then winces, but smiles through the pain. That smile. I dreamed of that smile. The memory of it kept me going, even when knowing I'd never see it again made me almost despair. A troubled look crosses his face. "Wait, is this real? Am I..." I can tell exactly what is going through his head. As someone who has woken up in one too many bad situations, I know he is thinking this is too good to be true. He thinks he might be a prisoner in the center, that everything he sees is the result of a drug or a mind implant. I hasten to reassure him. "Ecopan set me free. It saved me from the explosion in the underground, sent me here." "And where is here, exactly?" he asks with a touch of lingering suspicion. "The natural world. You made it out of Eden. But the people of Harmonia, the place we live, wanted to kill you." "What?" He looks confused, aghast. "An outsider came before and killed people. They don't trust anyone from Eden, really, but they have to accept the people Ecopan chose. Don't worry, you're safe now." He makes a choking sound of relief, and suddenly I'm in his arms. He's holding me like he never wants to let me go. "These are my friends, Mira and Carnelian." I help him sit up, and he looks around. His jaw drops in amazement. "Did I make it out? Did I cross the desert? I feel like I've been dreaming for days." "Harmonian drugs are pretty strong," I say, making Yarrow chuckle inside of me. "I've experienced them quite a bit myself lately. Don't worry, things will become clearer soon." "Where am I?" he asks. "You made it to Harmonia, a city not too far from Eden. It's a village that exists close to nature, and sometimes Ecopan selects people from Eden to be set free, to live in Harmonia." He's gazing in wonder at the garden around him. Although it is night, there's a bright moon overhead. That light is enhanced by the gardening bots disguised as beetles. Every jewel-like carapace is glowing as they scurry about their chores. They illuminate the exotic flowers and foliage with a mystical glow. Lachlan is entranced. "The living world," he breathes. "I believed you when you told me. I really did. But even then, I never imagined it could be like this." He spreads his arms to the orchids, the vines full of white flowers like stars, the heady floral scent that fills the air. He pulls me into his arms, whispering fiercely into my hair. "Oh, Rowan, do you know what this means? It means the people of Eden have hope." I feel deliriously, deliciously happy nestled in his arms. I want to stay here forever, in this magical garden, with my loved ones all around me. But we're not safe here, and some of my loved ones are missing. "Can you walk?" I ask him, breaking the spell. "We have to go." Suddenly, it hits me exactly what I've dragged Mira and Carnelian into. This isn't just an adventure. This is something that is changing their whole lives, making them leave behind everything they've known since they were born. "Not you two," I add suddenly to Mira and Carnelian. "We can't let you become involved in this. It's an Eden matter. You have your own lives here." "Nonsense," Mira says adamantly. "We're adults who make our own decisions. We want to help Lachlan. We want to help everyone in Eden. I was already planning to get back into Eden to help your brother and friends." "Really?" Carnelian asks, surprised. He just got roped into this at the last minute. I think, despite what Mira said about his enthusiasm, and his willingness to risk himself and leave the life he knew in Harmonia behind. He hasn't really thought this through. We were raised to help people, to prevent suffering, to bring peace to all living things, Mira says. The elders might have forgotten what that means, but we haven't. We can't be happy in Harmonia while thousands of people are suffering in Eden. So, Lachlan says, what's your plan? Lachlan struggles unsteadily to his feet, standing with his shoulders squared, breathing deeply of the nectar-scented night air. He looks at me with that maddening, mocking expression I've missed so much. Let me guess. No plan? Well, not exactly, I admit. I hadn't really gotten that far yet. See, there was this test, and then you showed up. Sorry I ruined your complete and total lack of plan, he says dryly, and winks at Mira. I suppress a giggle. The two of them are bonding already. Whatever the plan for Eden is, right now we have to get Lachlan far away from Harmonia, Mira says. Can you run? He nods. Mira, Carnelian, are you sure about this? I ask. No one saw us tie up Elder Knight. You can come up with a story to cover yourselves. You ran after us and lost us in the forest. They'll believe that. Go back to your peaceful lives. No way, Mira says, and Carnelian echoes her. There's a difference between a peaceful life and a useless life, he says with sincerity. We're blips in time, a few pounds in a biomass of billions. I want my existence to count for something. Well said, Lachlan says, clapping him on the shoulder. But I'm not ready to go yet. Tell me what's happening inside of Eden, I beg. Lark, Ash, what happened to them? Ash is alive. I don't know where, not exactly. I haven't seen him, but word got passed to me that he escaped. He told everyone what you did, how you blew up the underground to disrupt the power system, so all the captive second children could be set free. I thought you had died that day. I mourned you. Oh, Rowan. I'm in his arms again, and I can feel him shaking against me. Where is he now? I ask. Somewhere in the outer circles, I think. There's so much chaos inside of Eden right now. All I know is that he escaped the first attack on the underground, and was found after the explosion. After that, I haven't heard anything about him. I've been operating in the inner circles, and communication between circles has been hard. What about Lark? I ask. I feel him go rigid. Lark? He asks, looking completely confused, but then Mira interrupts. I know you want to ask him more, but all that won't do us any good if we're captured. We have to move. And if you don't mind me butting into your lack of a coherent plan, Carnelian says with a wry wink, I know exactly where we should go. Where? Well, I am ranked in the second tier, and we seconds have access to the hypertube codes. Mostly so we can perform maintenance. Not like we're actually allowed to go anywhere in them. But I can open the doors, and activate the motors and programming. So I'm pretty sure I can actually make one go where I want it to go. You mean, you can get us away? Far away? I think so. As long as we get there before anyone thinks to disable my codes. Before we leave the Enchanted Garden, Lachlan plucks a flower, a pink-purple blossom with gold pollen in its heart. He tucks it inside his shirt and gives a lingering glance over his shoulder at the magical bower. Just wait till you see the rest, I whisper to him, and lead him out into the woods. He stands, stunned, looking up at the trees all around him. Bats soar and dip overhead, searching for insects with chirps and whistles. An owl hoots softly in a nearby pine. It's not like I thought, Lachlan says. It's bigger. It's realer. We run through the forest, away from Harmonia, that paradise I thought was my reward. Carnelian pauses now and then to check his heading against the stars that peek through the treetops and corrects our course. The terrain is growing more hilly, Stones threaten to twist our feet in the dark. Another hour of jogging through the woods, and we come to a rocky outcrop. "Here it is," Carnelian says. "They made sure it is far enough from the village that no one will stumble on it accidentally." "I don't see it." "Look right there," he says, pointing to a high but narrow cleft in the rocks. The depth of blackness behind hints that there might be a cave, but the opening is far too narrow for anyone to get through. Carnelian leads the way. Then, seemingly at random, he moves one rock to pile it on top of another. He frowns, cocking his head. "It's hard to remember, but I think that's right." Then, he very deliberately leans against the skinny trunk of an almost leafless sapling right by the fissure in the rock. "Carnelian, be careful!" I cry, because it looks like he's knocking the young tree over. It tilts about 15 degrees, and I hear a creaking sound. To my amazement, the crack in the rock grows wider. With a grinding of seldom-used gears, the cave is opening up to reveal a small room inside. Lights come on automatically, revealing metal walls and elevator doors. From the outside, I can see there's only one large button, with an illuminated arrow pointing down. "That's amazing," Mira says, looking closer. "I can't see any mechanism in the rock. It's so cleverly hidden." The first and only warning I get is a single snap of a twig. Then suddenly, it's like there's a bear in our midst. Xander springs from the forest, seemingly out of nowhere, swinging a huge club studded with spiky knobs. It's so shocking that we just scatter, diving out of the way of his weapon. He swings wildly, with full force. If it hit us, it would break our bones, smash our skulls. The attack is so fierce and so fast that before we know it, he's gotten between us and the door to the hypertube. We stand ringed around him, out of reach of his swinging club, as he easily holds us at bay. Mira wants to fight, I can tell. But even with her considerable skills, the club is a serious threat. "Stay back," he shouts. "Do you really think I'm going to let you destroy all we've worked for in Harmonia?" I glance at Lachlan. At least Xander doesn't have a gun. There's no such thing in Harmonia. But this club he's fashioned out of wood is almost as lethal. We could probably subdue him if we worked together, but not without at least one of us getting hurt. "Xander, stay out of this," I shout at him. "We're no threat to Harmonia. In fact, we're leaving. You'll never have to deal with us again." "I don't believe you," he growls, swinging his club as Lachlan makes a feint toward him. "You want to open up this prison and let all this scum spill out, bringing their abhorrent technology and destructive ways to our paradise." "Xander, people from Eden aren't scum," I say in my most reasonable voice. "They're just people, just like you." I have to hand it to him. He's brave. Sure, he's bigger than any of us, and armed. But there are 4 of us against 1. Not bad odds. But 5 against 1 is even better. I see a shadow come from around the rocks, and then quiet as a panther, a hooded woman slips around from behind the rocky outcrop and tackles Xander from behind. It catches him totally off guard, and he sprawls, rolling to kick her off him. But it's all we need. Mira springs, wresting away his club, and the rest of us pile on top of him. Mira raises the club over her head. But she just holds it there, threateningly. The hooded woman takes a case from her bag, snaps it open, and pulls out a needle and a vial of clear liquid. While Xander struggles, she slides the needle into his arm, and a few seconds later, his eyes roll back in his head and he flops, limply. The woman stands, holding up the needle. A glint of moonlight catches a liquid drop on the tip. The plunger is still half full. She shakes her head, letting her hood fall back. It's Mom. While Mom stands threateningly near us, I dash between Mom and Lachlan. "Mom, don't put me in this position," I say, my voice dangerously low. You know what I'm doing is right. Don't make me choose between you. Rowan, you're not thinking straight, she begins, taking a step closer. Don't, I warn, and I slip my hand into my pocket, where I can feel the knife hilt. I never would. Of course I never would. But I can't let them take Lachlan back. I can't let him be executed. I'm not your enemy, sweetheart, she says, advancing slowly. I don't know what to do. I can't fight my mother. My hand comes out of my pocket, empty. Please, Mom, just go back to Harmonia and pretend you never found us. He won't be a threat to your way of life, I swear. I'll take him far away, and no one in Harmonia will ever see him again. There are tears in my eyes as I say this. I always knew that saving Lachlan would strip me away from Harmonia forever, and that meant losing my mom. I almost managed not to think about this inevitability. There's no sacrifice I wouldn't make for Lachlan. But that doesn't mean my heart isn't torn in two. It's not going to work, my mom says. They'll find you and bring you back. She takes another step, and I stand frozen between two people I love. Then she smiles. At least, they will if you're using second-rank codes. Carnelian, don't you know they'll shut down the hypertube and lock it if you attempt to actually ride in one? You'd be held there until the whole village arrived. She grins at me. And what would happen to Lachlan then? You know this is Lachlan? I ask, amazed. Sweetie, I've known you all your life. Do you think I can't tell when you're lying? I remembered your description of him and put two and two together. And of course I knew you were going to rescue him. So I pretended to go to sleep and waited for you to make your move. Which was a spectacular one, by the way. I tell Mom how we used the plants to wake him. He's still pretty wired, I say. But otherwise in good shape, Mom says after looking him over. They gave him intravenous hydration and nutrients, so he's actually in pretty good shape. Heal him so they can kill him? I ask Riley. They're wrong. So completely wrong. I always knew it, but I was so concerned about protecting Harmonia. They are too. The elders aren't evil people. They're just blinded by their beliefs. So blind they've forgotten how to think. I had been planning to tell everyone in Harmonia the truth, force them to weigh their conscience against the elders' decision. Even if most people agreed, there might have been enough dissent to save him. At the very least, the elders couldn't hide their actions. She stands up, so straight, so strong. I refuse to live in a city of secrets again. You only just got your first tier ranking, Carnelian says. How do you know how to run the hypertubes already? I don't, not really. I'll be relying on you for the details. But they gave me the codes as soon as I got my results after the test, Mom adds, pulling a tiny notebook from her pocket. I was supposed to be studying the codes and procedures, memorizing them so precisely that I didn't have to carry around a written record that might fall into the wrong hands. She giggles. Looks like mine are the wrong hands. I can't believe my mom is actually having fun on this adventure, I say in an aside to Lachlan. Like mother, like daughter, he answers. I remember seeing just that look in your eyes when we were running away from trouble. And running into it, I add. Somehow my hand has found his. We should hurry, Mom says. If Xander is here, the others must know, and can't be far behind. But there's no sign of pursuit. Maybe not, I suggest. Xander seems like the kind of guy who would just come after us by himself. If he saw what happened, he would have sounded the alarm. But if he came up later, he might have decided to try to track us on his own. I hate to admit it, but he's a good tracker, Mira says. Almost as good as me. So we might not be in any more immediate danger. The others head to the door, but I hang back. You're going to leave him? What else are we supposed to do? Mira asks, looking at Xander's unconscious form with disdain. He tried to kill us. I don't think he would have... I begin, but Mira interrupts. I know you always want to thank the best of people, but he would have bashed our skulls in or dragged us back to the elders if he could. He's like a rabid animal. It might be part of nature, but it's not a part you want around you. He's doing what he believes in, I say. We should try to change his mind. And if we had time, I'd agree with you, Mom interjects. But now we have to go, while my codes still work. They enter the building, but I linger behind. There are panthers out there, and bears, wolves too. While he's unconscious, he's at the mercy of any predator that wanders by. Seriously? Yarrow asks, with an exaggerated sigh inside my head, as I grab Xander under the armpits and try to drag him into the room. Do you forget that he broke our fingers? Maybe a bear will gnaw off a few of his. Shut up, I tell her. If you can't help, I am helping. I'm amazed you managed to keep us alive for so long, Rowan. You have awful survival instincts. Oh, no, Rowan, Carnelian groans as he sees what I'm doing. Rowan, come on, Mira says. You can't... She breaks off when she sees the determined expression I throw over my shoulder. I can only budge Xander's bulk an inch at a time, but Bickett, I'm not going to leave him out here. I wouldn't do that to anyone. We can keep him sedated and leave him here in the station. He'll be able to get himself back to Harmonia. It's not like they won't be able to track us themselves once the sun comes up. They'll figure out where we've gone. We just have to have a good head start, but I won't leave him unconscious alone in the woods. I can't. With a sigh, they help me drag him inside, and the rock doors close behind us. It feels cramped with all of us in this little room. Mom consults her book and enters a code. The elevator doors soundlessly open, and we step inside, leaving Xander on the floor. I can barely feel the movement of the descent, just a faint sort of tremor beneath my feet. But we go down for a long time. Finally, the doors open. Wow, Mira breathes. I mean, I'd heard about the hypertubes. You can keep a lot of secrets, but you can't keep everything secret. But I had no idea. We're gazing over a huge, illuminated room. The air is cool and dry. The cavernous room is starkly empty, except for a giant metal pipe that looks like a mutant worm, silver and segmented. It bisects the echoing space. I can see clear access doors on the side. Mom punches in another code. Looks like my codes still work. The clear door opens to reveal a capsule inside the tube. The curving walls are a shimmering mother of pearl, and the sides are lined with plush seats upholstered in bright turquoise. Where are we going? I ask, watching with some amusement as Mira and Carnelian dare each other to cross into the threshold first. They look as apprehensive as I was the first time I tried to swim across the river. I guess the world is full of currents that push us out of our comfort zones. We want to get far from Harmonia. My initiation study books list places the hypertube links with hundreds of miles away. I don't know anything about them, but there are basic descriptions. What do you think of this one? She flips a page and shows me a map with a neon blue tracing leading south, then west, the path of one of the hypertubes. I study the topographic lines, figure out the mileage, then realize what the change of elevation and other indicators are hinting at. Is that one by the ocean? I ask with excitement. She nods, grinning. The ocean, I say with a sigh, turning to Lachlan. Can you imagine it? I've forgotten all danger at the prospect. For someone who grew up in a world with nothing but city and humans, any aspect of nature is still a boon. But the sea. I never dreamed I'd see it. Swim in it. I can picture the majestic beauty of the crashing waves, the endless bounty of life hidden beneath its depths. Yes, I can imagine a home by the sea with Lachlan. But what about Ash? I ask. And then I realize that in the excitement, I didn't even tell her. Ash is alive, Or he was after the explosion. I told Mom what happened when I blew up the underground, but I had no idea what happened to my brother. We can find him. Get him out of Eden. Mom sighs. You can't just go charging into Eden, Rowan. How would you cross the desert? And even if you made it, there's a price on your head and mine. And how would we get him out again? Oh, Rowan, I know you want to save him. So do I. And we will. She sounds brightly enthusiastic. And for a second, I wonder if she's humoring me. But we have no idea how. Right now, we have to get away from Harmonia. You know what will happen to Lachlan if they catch him. I gulp. Okay, I concede. We get far away first. I don't like that my mission has changed so dramatically. I'm happy beyond belief that I have Lachlan, but I can't give up on everyone else. Can I? What if Lachlan is enough? What if the idea of breaking into Eden is a foolish, suicidal dream? Maybe I should be happy with what I have. It is so much more than I ever thought possible. Mom, Lachlan, my two dear friends, freedom, the ocean, and a whole world to explore. Realistically, I know that will most likely all slip from my grasp if I try to get back into Eden. I'll lose it all. How long will it take to get there? Lachlan asks. I'm not sure, Mom says. We can't get directly there anyway. Why not? She studies the map a moment longer. Looks like this is a direct hypertube just to one destination, the central terminal. We have to go to that main station. It's the place where all the tubes branch out. From there, we can take a direct line to the ocean. Okay, I say. How far away is the main station? Mom presses her lips together in a thin line before she answers reluctantly. It's not far. In fact, it's directly outside of Eden. A shiver runs through me, head to toe, and when it reaches my feet, I actually stand, poised as if I'm going to run away. But there's nowhere to go. Eden. For the last 3 months, since my miraculous release, I've told myself I'm going back. But it was all hypothetical, a future I'd face when the time came. Now I'm zooming underground toward my old prison home, and I'm terrified. Against all conceivable odds, you escaped, Yarrow says. And now you want to go back. No, I don't, I tell her in my head. I want to run away from here as fast as I can. With Yarrow, my other self, I can be honest, even if I'd never confessed the shameful depth of my fear to anyone else. That's the trouble with you, Rowan, Yarrow grumbles to me. You know the best way to keep us alive. You just never actually do it. It doesn't matter now, I think, as the hypertube builds up speed. We're not going to Eden. We'll just be stopping near the outskirts. We probably don't even have to leave these subterranean depths. We just change tubes and take off. Still, it is far too close for comfort. I feel like the power and authority of the center can reach out across the divide and snatch away my freedom if I even get close. I make myself settle down, and I can finally talk about what's most important to me. Lachlan, what's been happening in Eden? The tale he tells turns my selfish dread inside out, replacing it with incredulous fury. Eden had a civil war. And in a way, it was my fault. My brother Rook helped me escape when they stormed the underground. It's good to have a green shirt on your side. But an explosion had gone off right near me, and it was weeks before the dizziness passed, or I could hear again. By the time I was ready to fight, a lot had happened. The more prosperous middle and inner circles had often been largely spared from interference in their memories and neurons. The wealthy and educated were always more easy to control by traditional methods. Financial incentives, comfort, and a feeling of superiority were usually enough to keep them in line. "Not so now," Lachlan says. "Everyone, rich and poor, knew there was something deeply wrong in Eden. Chief Elena feared she was losing control, and that made her even more ruthless. There was unrest everywhere. But no one could agree on the exact nature of the problem, or the solution. Rebel factions were springing up in every circle." Tales started to spread of a prophet, who the center had tried to imprison, but he slipped through their clutches. The prophet spoke of a green land beyond the desert, a world of plenty just waiting for humans to take over. A sick feeling settles in my belly. She was a prisoner of the chief, but many, many people in the center had heard her prophetic ravings. An orderly, a menial worker, recorded her words. He was a member of the Dominion sect. I gasp. The Dominion is a very secret organization that believes humans should have dominion over the Earth and all living things. It is the exact opposite of everything Eden is supposed to stand for. They think animals are made to be eaten, that the Earth is vast enough to be abused and still recover, still give humans her blessing. He spread that recording among the Dominion followers, and that attracted more. Suddenly there were thousands of people who were convinced that there is a living world beyond Eden, that it is their manifest destiny to find it, and fill it, to use it, and exploit it. "But they can't," I choke out. "You mean, as soon as they hear about all this wonder out here, they want to lay waste to it?" "They think it is their right. The Dominion was in open war with the Center, trying to find a way out of Eden. Guards were posted everywhere, and the Outer Circle turned into a militarized zone." I was only trying to tell the truth, to let people know that there was a way to live with space, with freedom, without government control. The survival of the natural world was supposed to be happy news. But there are always some people who will corrupt anything. But the factions couldn't work together, and no single group could achieve dominance. Still, they caused a lot of trouble for the Center. "Things sound pretty bad," I say. "You have to be hopeful, Rowan," Lachlan urges. "Yes, things are terrible now, but great things can come out of chaos." "But now it sounds like all that's coming from it is death," I say miserably. "Chaos is better than blindness and apathy. They were fighting. If they could have come together, the Center might have been overthrown." "But they didn't," he tells us. And then Chief Elena implemented her new plan. The Center looked like it was in trouble for a while. So many people were mobilizing against it. But then the Center came up with a new way to control the people. Usually, the lens implants that every legal citizen of Eden has can only control them in minor, basic ways. Through the lenses, Egopan subtly turns their attentions away from things it doesn't want them to see, keeps them from getting too curious. And the lenses can be used to monitor their actions, and in a rough way, their thoughts. But most of that came from Egopan. At times when the Center wanted to really mess up someone's perceptions, they had to do it through surgery, going directly into the brain to access the connections already initially forged by the lenses. Changing people completely, like the chief did with me, or Pearl, was a slow and complicated process. Until just a couple of weeks ago, Chief Elena came up with a way to broadcast complicated mind control directly to anyone with an implant. "This can do far more than they'd ever done before," Lachlan tells me. "Overnight, almost the entire population was as calm and happy as if they were drugged. In a way, they are. We think the signal stimulates the centers of the brain that identify pleasure and contentment. Suddenly everyone, even the most passionate of rebels, stopped worrying." "It almost sounds nice, doesn't it?" Yarrow says. "They're like happy zombies now. They've forgotten about the rebellion, forgotten about the fighting. I mean, there are still bullet casings in the street. People's wives, children, friends are missing. and no one cares. They do their jobs, eat their synthetic food, go to school, play games, gossip, and look almost like they did before. Almost normal. But nothing bothers anyone anymore. I know what we're all thinking. The same thing that Yarrow thought. In a way, it sounds like a utopian society, right? Everyone content, no one complaining. A happy, peaceful population where everyone knows their place and accepts it. I shudder with a deep, terrible chill. The worst thing in the world is to be forced to feel something, I say softly. Even if it is happiness, we have to stop them. The second children aren't affected, he says. Only people with their eye implants. Everyone with the implants is affected? I ask. Almost. There are some glitches. Some people seem to break out of it, at least for a while. Some go almost numb, uninterested in anything around them, even eating. But for the most part, everyone is under the chief's control. But you remember Flame, right? Of course. She's the intense, red-haired neurocybersurgeon who deactivated my lenses. She could only remove one, though, so I'm left with mismatched eyes. Flame has been deactivating as many people as she can, severing the connection with the center. She learned a lot from your surgery. We basically have to kidnap our old allies and do the procedure. Once it's done, though, they remember what they were fighting for and rejoin us. Do you know how to stop it completely? I ask. Flame and the others are working on it. I haven't seen her since the raid on the underground, though. I've been working near the center, sabotaging security, trying to cut center communications. The main rebel holdout is in the outer circle. She's there, I think. I only get bits and pieces of what's going on. Communication has been difficult, as you might imagine. Flame is focusing on a way to stop the mind control. Meanwhile, Lachlan embarked on a mission of his own. It might not work, he admitted. There might be no way to stop the center, but maybe we can escape it. That's why I had to reach the outside. I thought if I could cross over, if I could prove that there was an outside world, it would give people hope and purpose. They would unify. We could stop fighting the center directly, and focus instead of finding a way to open up Eden. We all have to leave. Even the Dominion faction? Who knows how many of their members are true fanatics, Lachlan says, as he holds my hand and leans close. I think many of them are just desperate for something to believe in. Anything other than the city, which is all they've ever known. If a starving child dreams of a candy store, do they fantasize about eating just one sweet? Or do they dream about going crazy, devouring everything in sight with no thought of the consequences? I think if the Dominion knew that there was actually an outside world, if they could see it as I have, they would never want to risk destroying it. I stare out the window at the flickering blur of the tube walls flying past. Am I the only cynical one? Everyone else seems to believe wholeheartedly that if humans had a chance in the natural world, they wouldn't mess it up. I'd like to think that, but I'm still not sure. The hypertube comes to a stop. I have no idea how far we've traveled. Its speed is impossible to calculate. We've been traveling no more than 20 minutes, but we could have gone 50 miles, or 200. Uh-oh, Mom says as she flips through her guidebook. I made a mistake. Don't worry, not a major one. I hope. She gives a nervous laugh. The main terminal is just outside of Eden. It's just in a separate facility than this one. We have to leave the station, go to the surface, and walk. She squints at a diagram. Oh, not far at all. A few hundred yards. No problem. I've let everyone else go ahead of me. I hear Mira's exclamation of disappointment. I can't see anything. Just desert. You were hoping for smog and grime and factory turrets? Carnelian asks. The wails of tormented souls? Well, You hear about hell for so long, you kind of hope it's going to look a little more impressive, she says. I have to take a deep breath before I step into the open. The sun, just risen above the horizon, glows molten in the east as I look toward my old home. Mira is right. It doesn't look very impressive. The pale gold desert shimmers with blistering heat. Beyond that, I know, is the line of the towering bean trees, but they are camouflaged and hide any trace of the city beyond a sort of fog, the haze of the particulate dome that arcs over the whole city. We were once told it protected us from the harmful effects of the sun's interaction with the atmospheric particles that supposedly destroyed the Earth. The supposed reason everyone in Eden had to get lenses. But we know that was all a lie. The lenses were for monitoring and mind control. What is the hazy dome for? Some other way to keep humanity trapped and controlled? Still, I know there are more than 1 million people just a few miles away. 1 million people at war, suffering, struggling. Finally, I ask the question that has been struggling to come out. The question I have been so deeply afraid to ask. Until I ask, until I know, anything is possible, and I can pretend that the best-case scenario is true. When I asked Lachlan about Lark earlier, he reacted in an odd way, more than I could attribute to jealousy. Does that mean he doesn't know, or knows but doesn't want to say? And Lachlan hasn't volunteered anything. That can't be a good sign, can it? If she were alive, he would have told me straight away, right? Do you know what happened to the second children? I ask in a trembling voice. To everyone? I'm afraid to say Lark's name. Afraid to hear bad news. I wish I could tell you more about your brother. I'm sorry. It has been hard to coordinate communications, and we've tried to divide the resistance cells so that if someone is captured and interrogated, or mind-probed, they can't give away too much. I know most of the second children made it out of the center, thanks to you, and your father, but what their fate is now, I don't know. You don't know about Lark? He gives me a puzzled look. Lark, she... He swallows hard. Did they wipe your memory again? He takes my hand and says very gently, Rowan, Lark died. Don't you remember? The nanosand took her when we tried to cross the desert. Oh, you don't know! I beam at him. She's alive! The nanosand doesn't kill. It's just another lie we've been told. It swallows people down to an underground holding station, and they're sent to the center, imprisoned or re-educated or experimented on, or whatever evil thing the center wants to do. I saw her. She was in prison, alive. Did she get out with the others? I know everyone from the underground escaped. I don't know, I say. I was hoping you knew. He shakes his head. I'm so sorry, Rowan. I haven't seen or heard about her. But you have to remember, there's been a lot of chaos. I've only had contact with a couple of the second children. None of them have mentioned her, and of course, I wouldn't think to ask. Strangely, I feel almost elated. I was braced for the worst news. To still not know means that all possibilities are still open. If he doesn't know Lark and Ash are dead, they might still be alive. I feel a surge of hope. The station is this way, Mom calls, interrupting my reverie. Come on, Rowan. We'll come back soon, once we have a plan. I promise. But so many things can go wrong between promise and fulfillment. Just a few miles away, a computer program and a madwoman are controlling people's minds. Somewhere in there, Ash might be alive. And Lark. Lachlan is looking at his lifelong home, too. I used to think we had to fix Eden, he says, choosing his words carefully. Now I know that it is irrevocably broken. Ecopan, the center. There's no way Eden can be saved. Humanity needs a new beginning. We'll be back, Rowan, Mira says, taking Carnelian's arm and following my mom. But we're here now. If we leave, who knows what might happen? Once we're at the distant sea, Mom's access codes might be revoked. We might be stuck there. We don't have a plan. I know it would be suicide to go into Eden without a foolproof scheme, an army of allies. And even if we had that, how could we get in? Even with an exposure suit, the desert almost killed Lachlan. If only the hypertube had a conduit that ran underneath the desert, I think. As with heavy feet, I turn away to follow the others. If only there was a way across the desert, through or over or under. Quick as lightning, I make my impulsive decision and take off running. Rowan, come back! Mom screams, but I hardly hear her. I'm racing into the brutal, scorching desert sands. The heat smacks me like a stone wall, making me stagger as my skin instantly flushes red. Rowan, are you crazy? Mira shouts. We have to go! You can't get across that now. You'll die! I stop and turn around. I can't leave them inside. I can't leave them without hope. The desert will kill you, Rowan, Lachlan says, stepping tentatively onto the sand. You can't cross without protection. Even with it, you know that. We tried before. I don't know how I made it across this time. I was sure I was going to die. You risked your life for what you believe in, I shout across the blistering sands. You don't expect me to do the same? It's not the same, he argues, coming closer. I had a chance. You have no chance of getting across. I have no intention of crossing the desert, I say. And I can see the relief wash over him. He holds out a hopeful hand. I'm going to go under it. His hand falls, and he stares at me in confusion. I turn and scan the horizon. Any moment now. He sees it before I do. Nanosand! He cries in warning. And I run. But I don't run away from the mobile, hungry threat. Rowan, look out! And Mom shouts, What are you doing? The nanosand will take me to the center, I yell back to her. It's a way into Eden. Don't be crazy, Lachlan fumes. Even if that's true, you'll just be delivering yourself to the center. The chief will experiment on you again. You'll forget everything. I can see the anguish on his face. Please no. Not after I only just found you again. I can feel my heart breaking. But it is also breaking for the people imprisoned in Eden. I walk toward the nanosand. It, in turn, is stalking me, creeping closer, expecting me to flee. It's suicide! You'll be caught and never escape from the center! Maybe, I say, if I don't have help. Then I stand still and let the nanosand take me. Oh, great Earth, no! Lachlan is running to me. Mira and Mom, and Carnelian too, braving the heat in an attempt to save me. My skin crawls, as if with a thousand ants when the nanosand envelops my feet. It brings back terrifying memories of my other encounters with it. Watching Lark being swallowed up, certain I'd lost her forever. And the time the nanosand caught me, dragging me inexorably down until it choked me, blinded me. Lachlan saved me then. I won't let him save me now. When the dragging sand makes my feet lurch, I don't try to keep my balance, don't try to escape. I let myself fall backward, out of Lachlan's reach. He skids to a halt, despair naked on his face. What have you done? I'm going back. And you're right. I'll definitely be captured if I go alone. Do it. Yarrow screams at me inside my head. I know it doesn't feel fair, but do it, or we'll die. But you, Lachlan, you're the best fighter I know. The nanosand drags me slowly down, but I fight my fear. And Mom, you used to work for the center. You know their buildings, their procedures. That's right, Yarrow says in her selfish, practical voice. Convince them. You need them. Lachlan is pacing the edge of the nanosand, like a thwarted panther, desperate to reach me, but powerless. I hate that I'm doing this to them, but Yarrow was right. Carnelian, you know enough about tech to bypass any security system they've got. And Mira, you can run as fast as me, climb as high. You're braver than I ever was. The nanosand trickles into my ears, and their protesting shouts grow muffled. With your help, we have a chance to save people. To save all of Eden. Follow me, I shout, as the nanosand brushes my eyes. I squeeze them shut, then struggle to free a hand to pinch my nose closed. Follow me, or let humanity down. Follow me, or lose me forever. The billion tiny particles pulling at me seem to redouble their effort. And the sun disappears as the suffocating sand closes around my face. For a moment, I can still see the sun's reassuring glow through the sand, through my closed eyelids. Then I sink deeper, and I'm encased in black silence. Be calm, Yarrow tells me. This is part of your plan. It will all work out. You'll sink through the nanosand, and in just a moment you'll end up in a holding pen beneath the desert. My plan? This was your idea. And it wasn't a plan, you idiot, I tell her. It was an impulse. I couldn't be so close to my friends stuck in Eden without trying to help them. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now, not so much. I'm sinking into the most terrible danger. And I'm alone. I feel so guilty for trying to manipulate them like that. I'm glad, almost glad, no one made the rash decision to join me. If I'm doomed, and I surely am, at least I'm doomed by myself. I put myself in a position where they couldn't rescue me, where the only possible way to save me was to join me. I was wrong to expect them to cast their lot in with my crazy idea. As the seconds tick by, and I sink slowly, despair begins to clutch at me. Despair, and a frantic, maddening urge to breathe. How long will it take to make it through to the holding cell? I was thinking no more than a minute, but that has to have passed by now. The second initiation test showed me exactly how long I can hold my breath. That time is rapidly coming to an end. Don't panic, I chant to myself as my diaphragm clenches and my mouth tries to open against my will. You're not an unthinking animal. You're a reasoning human. Yes, this is unpleasant, terrifying, but you know logically that it has an end. When did logic ever win against biology? Panic creeps up on me and suddenly pounces. No amount of lecturing can help me. My brain isn't even working well enough to form coherent thoughts. I squeeze everything shut, my mouth, my eyes, my pinched nose, and curl up into a ball, screaming inside my head. For just a second, I hold the terror in check. Then my body, my animal nature, takes over, and I'm flailing in the nanosand, reaching out for anything to grab onto, desperate to save myself. I can't help it. The threat of death, the will to live, overrides all reason. All my struggling only uses up oxygen. By the time the second minute has come and gone, my mind is a red haze, my chest is convulsing. And then, I can't help myself. I open my mouth, gasping desperately for a breath that isn't there, screaming soundlessly into the powdery sand. Nanosand. Almost microscopic bots in a hive mind swarm, fills my mouth, creeping insidiously into my lungs, and I go limp. I'm dying. I'm alone. A vibration shakes the nanosand, and it thuds against me in waves like slow-moving water. The next instant, a hand finds mine, a big, calloused hand, a tender hand that tucks mine within its fingers, pulls my whole body closer, and curls protectively around me as I slip from consciousness. I wake choking and gasping. I can feel each tiny particle of nanosand crawling up from my lungs, spilling onto the floor, where it coalesces before marching off like a line of ants. I take a deep, grateful breath and look around. I'm in a bare room with other people, strangers. Before I can take stock of the situation, I see a tube descend from the ceiling. Like some strange creature giving birth, it deposits Lachlan, then Mom, and Mira, and Carnelian, too. They fall in a sandy heap and choke up the sand. They followed me. Relief and guilt are so mixed, I don't even know what to feel. Mom gets shakily to her feet and turns on me with mixed feelings of her own. Relief and fury. Don't you ever dare do that to me again. I won't lose you. Besides the five of us, there are a few other people in this perfectly square, perfectly white room. One of them has a survival suit on, similar to the one we used when we first tried to cross the desert. Two blonde men have makeshift protection, masks that shade their eyes and face, loose clothing that covers their skin, thick soled shoes. They obviously tried to prepare for the journey, to no avail. A trio of green and gold coiffed women, who are obviously from the inner circles, are wearing some kind of skin with veins running through it. The veins pulse as liquid runs through them. A cooling system, I think. I wonder if it would have worked if the nanosand hadn't caught them. In one corner sits an old man with no protection whatsoever. His clothes are rags, his skin scorched. He rocks forward and back, staring into space, muttering to himself. "Who are these people?" I ask. "Some are rebels, I'm sure," Lachlan says. "Others are glitches, people who, for whatever reason, aren't completely affected by the mind control, or who it affects in unpredictable ways. Random people who, either through luck or strength of character, manage to resist the center." "You all tried to cross the desert?" I ask, as I brush the last of the nanosand off my skin. Everyone in the room watches the final grains skitter across the room of their own volition and disappear down a grate where the floor meets the wall. There are nods and murmurs of assent. "It's out there," a green-haired woman says. "The wild world. I know it is. The prophet said so. She saw it." I didn't think it was the right time to tell her that I was the supposed prophet.
"Whoa, second children? All of you?"
The blonde men peer into our eyes. Mom's are still flat-colored with the lenses, even though they are deactivated. But Lachlan, Mira, and Carnelian all have natural eyes. I have one natural, one with a lens. They clap us on the back, murmuring slogans of rebellion. But the three elite women curl their lips at us.
"The only worse thing than prison is a mixed prison," one says with a sneer.
They get dirty looks from the blonde prisoners, who obviously come from some of the outer circles.
"When we are free, we will be equal," one says.
"We'll never be free if we don't find a way to cross the desert," grumbles his companion.
"You didn't prepare," the man in the survival suit tells us. "It's amazing you didn't die before the nanosand got you."
"We weren't exactly planning to go into the desert," Mom says.
"Ah, you were on the run. Rebels, then?"
"Don't be stupid," one of the people in makeshift protection says. "We're all rebels."
"Outer circle idiot," mutters the green-haired elite. "Picking inner circle weakling."
"There's no point in dealing with them," Lachlan murmurs to our group. "I told you there were many factions, all at odds with each other. Many people want to cross the desert."
"We need to focus on getting out of here," I say, turning to Carnelian. "Do you see any way?"
He frowns as he looks around.
There's an access panel by the door, and maybe a way to get at the